Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. I'm Chance Miller. Today's episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Day One. Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo today is out with yet another report focused on Apple's plans for 2020. According to the analyst, Apple is preparing the release of a new low-end iPhone and new iPad Pros for the first quarter of 2020, followed by the launch of an Apple augmented reality headset during the second quarter. As Kuo has said before, the low-end iPhone will feature a 4.7-inch display with a design similar to that of the iPhone 8. While the device is widely being compared to the iPhone SE, that comparison will hold more true in terms of price than design. Despite the low-end position in the iPhone lineup, Kuo says the iPhone will still feature the new A13 processor. As for the new iPad Pros, Kuo says that they will feature rear-facing 3D time-of-flight sensors. Similar to the front-facing Face ID camera systems on the iPhone and iPad Pro, the new iPad Pros will be able to get accurate depth data of the world around them using the rear camera. This is presumably targeted at improving the augmented reality experience. Speaking of augmented reality, Kuo says that Apple will collaborate with third-party brands to release its first round of augmented reality headsets for the iPhone, with the first ones coming sometime in the second quarter of 2020. In this type of setup, the device would mainly be driven by the CPU, GPU, and network connectivity of the wirelessly connected iPhone. The release schedule for the AR headset lines up with numerous code findings in iOS 13, as well as previous reports out of the supply chain. More specific information, such as the design of the headset and Apple's specific stereo AR plans, remain unclear. Last but not least, Kuo also makes a prediction about the MacBook line, saying that a new MacBook with scissor switch keys is coming during the second quarter of 2020. It's unclear if Kuo is referring to the 16-inch MacBook Pro, which has been rumored for this month, or another entirely different MacBook. The analyst has previously said that Apple would transition all MacBooks to the new scissor switch keyboard design during 2020, starting with the MacBook Pro in the fall of 2019. This leads us to believe that we can still expect the 16-inch MacBook Pro this month and a new MacBook with the scissor switch keyboard sometime in the second quarter of 2020. Ming-Chi Kuo has been releasing new reports on Apple's 2020 plans at a fast pace recently, and this implies that there is quite a bit of supply chain chatter about Apple's upcoming new hardware. With all of that having been said, we don't expect the rumors to slow down anytime soon, and it seems like Apple might have a busy first half of 2020 planned. 9 to 5 Mac Daily this week is brought to you by Day One, the award-winning journal app that redefines journaling on your iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and is used by many of us here at 9 to 5 Mac. Day One is a journaling app that is actually fun and simple to use. Not only can you write text entries, but it also allows you to capture so much more, with support for photos, videos, links, drawings, and audio recordings. Secure Cloud Sync keeps your entries up to date across iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and with end-to-end encryption and on-device Face ID and passcode protection, entries stay private. If you're wondering what you'll write, the new Templates Gallery gives you helpful prompts to get started. And if you're not a fan of writing, the Apple Watch app is a fantastic audio recorder. Day One is one of the must-have apps for iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and you can download it for free on the App Store or at dayoneapp.com. My thanks to Day One for supporting 9 to 5 Mac Daily. In other news, with all of Apple's latest OS updates now available, Apple Arcade is supported on iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Apple TV, and Mac. In conjunction with that, you can also now use Xbox and PlayStation 4 wireless controllers with your Apple devices. Now, Apple Today has listed the Xbox wireless controller on its online store. This means you'll soon be able to buy the Xbox controller for your Apple Arcade needs directly from Apple's online store and presumably its retail stores. A dedicated game controller can significantly enhance the experience with many Apple Arcade games that are more like console and PC titles. And for the Apple TV, some of the titles even require a gaming controller and are not supported with just the Siri remote. By adding the Xbox controller to its retail stores, Apple will increase the visibility of Apple Arcade and highlight the fact that it's more like a traditional console experience when you attach a physical gaming controller. Buying the Xbox controller from Apple comes at a price, with Apple retailing it for $60 and Amazon selling the same thing for $40. You can use the Xbox controller with iOS 13, iPadOS 13, tvOS 13, and macOS Catalina. Rounding out today, Twitter this week revealed that it has unintentionally been using phone numbers and email addresses provided for account security for advertising purposes. The problem stemmed from Twitter's Tailored Audiences advertising program, which allows advertisers to target customers based on their own marketing lists, including things like email addresses and phone numbers. Through the Tailored Audiences advertising program, advertisers can upload their marketing lists and have the information matched to Twitter accounts. In this situation, Twitter was unintentionally matching data provided by advertisers with phone numbers and email addresses provided by users for account security purposes. Twitter says that it can't say with certainty how many people were impacted by this problem, but it also notes that no personal data was ever shared externally with any partners or third parties. The problem was resolved as of September 17th, but Twitter is only just now disclosing it. If this situation sounds familiar, it's because it should. Facebook admitted last year that it was also using two-factor authentication phone numbers for ad targeting. For Facebook, that practice ended up being part of the massive fine it was hit with by the FTC. It's worth pointing out that this does not mean you should run and disable two-factor authentication on your Twitter account. Instead, you should use this as an opportunity to switch to Twitter's app-based two-factor platform as opposed to the SMS platform. You can find details on that at the link in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. Read all of the stories mentioned today and much more at 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.